come tonight to what is indisputably the most important verse in the Bible. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It is the most important verse in the Bible. It is a verse of truly immense content because it deals with the creation of this universe. And therefore you have content here that is truly immense, truly great, truly majestic. How this universe came to be. And not only is the content truly immense, but arising out of it, the significance of this verse likewise is immense. And the personal significance to every one of us. When you read Genesis chapter 1, you're not reading in the first verse something that is way out there, unconnected, unrelated to us. This opening verse of the Bible raises the question of origin. The origin of all things. The origin of the human race. And therefore, your origin. I hope tonight, as we have read this verse and as we ponder its teaching, I hope that that personal significance will be impressed upon every heart in this meeting. This is a verse that relates to you. If it were not for this verse, you would not be here. If it were not for Genesis 1 verse 1, you would not exist. You would not be here. Genesis is the foundation book of the whole Bible. And therefore its opening verse is the foundation verse of all Scripture. It is the foundation of foundations. What a dramatic introduction. There is no other book in the world that makes such a bold, dramatic, and personally relevant introduction as what we have here in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's an introduction that begins with a declaration of fact. God created. The creation of the world had no human eyewitness to it. It was not observed by any human eye. It is the grand, unobserved phenomenon of all time. Stop and think about that. There have been many great events, many great happenings down through the history of time, and they have been observed by human eyes. Think of the great flood that Genesis tells us of. It swept the whole world, the entire globe covered by the waters of the flood, and yet it was observed by human eyes. But here is an event that is unobserved, that no human eye beheld, no individual witnessed this great momentous occasion when God created the heavens and the earth. And yet the Bible, when it comes to this great event, does not begin with speculation. This unobserved event, this event that was not witnessed by any human being, by any creature, the Bible does not begin with speculating concerning the origin of this universe, but rather it begins with this announcement of fact, a declaration of what no human eye has observed. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about the multitude of books that are found in this world, books that observe certain events, various circumstances. Do they speak with such confidence? Do they speak with such boldness, such clarity? And yet here is an event that no creature observed. And yet the Bible steps forth, and in its opening page, in its opening sentence, it makes this bold, dramatic declaration. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It rolls back the veil of natural obscurity, and it gives us a definite and a precise revelation of what happened at the very beginning of this universe. It reveals how this universe came to be, a personal and a transcendent God created all things. That's how it came to be. We're not left in the dark. We're not left in doubt. We're not left with any vagueness as to how this universe came to be. This bold declaration, this strong announcement, this unapologetic announcement tells us that God, who is outside of creation, God who is above creation, God who is not in any way connected materially to this creation, God created the heavens and the earth. And therein lies its importance to the rest of Scripture, and indeed its connection to the rest of Scripture. If you can believe the first verse of the Bible, you'll have no difficulty believing everything else in the Bible. If you can believe Genesis 1 verse 1, you'll not have any trouble believing what else is revealed in the Scriptures of truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That sets forth a God who is in control of all things and who can do all things consistent with his own nature. And therefore, when you open the other pages of Scripture and you find the waters of the Red Sea being parted and a dry path made for that vast company of Israelites to cross, you'll not have any problem believing it. You'll not have any problem believing that the Lord took that little lunch from the little lad and with it fed the great multitude that had assembled. You'll not have any problem. And if the Bible speaks concerning the origin in such way, and you believe its statement, you'll not have any problem believing what it says about the future. That great day when God will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, when the heavens and the earth will flee away from the face of him that sits on the throne, and he will create all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. If you can believe Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, you'll have no difficulty believing everything else that the Bible speaks of. It makes this tremendous declaration of fact. God created the heavens and the earth. And if God created, then he can do all things that are contained and revealed in this book. That's how important this first verse of the Bible is. It is a declaration of fact. But it's also a tremendous defense against all the falsehoods that have arisen down through the centuries of man's history. This one verse of the Bible is a powerful refutation of all false theories, all false philosophies regarding the existence of the world. Take atheism. Atheism denies the existence of a personal God. The atheist comes along and he says, There is no God. That's the language of the atheist. How does the Bible respond? Where do we turn to in the Bible to answer atheism? We turn to the very first verse. This world was created by God. In the beginning, God created. It contradicts, it refutes the philosophy of atheism. There is a God. The first verse of the Bible introduces us to God. And you either believe him or you don't. But the Bible is clear. Take the philosophy of pantheism. Pantheism is that belief that God is in everything, that God is in matter. That's why you have some religions that will worship creatures like the cow. The cow is sacred. Or even in some pagan senses, they will refer the trees and the wind and the elements because they are holding to the philosophy of pantheism that God is in the creation. But look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It reveals a God who is separate from his creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is not in the trees. God is not in the cows or the beasts of the field. God is not in the elements. They are separate from him. He is a transcendent God. He is outside of creation. He is above creation. And there it is in the first verse. It refutes that foolish, darkened notion of pantheism. What about polytheism? That's the worship of more than one God, a multiplicity of gods. And when you go down through the history of mankind, you'll find that they worship that planet, and they worshipped another planet, and they worshipped something else as gods. A multiplicity of gods. But the opening verse of the Bible indicates that there is only one God. In the beginning, God. He created the heaven and the earth. Or take materialism. Materialism as a philosophy claims that nothing exists except matter. Matter, that which we can touch and handle. That matter is the fundamental substance in nature. Well, God is spirit. And here we find God distinct from matter, that matter is not the fundamental substance of nature. Materialism as a philosophy teaches that all things are the result of material interaction. But this verse of the Bible teaches us that material matter had a beginning. It had a beginning. And then you have humanism. Humanism is that philosophy that man is the ultimate reality. He's the center of the universe. And humanism is so prevalent. Man becomes the center. The whole world revolves around him. But this opening verse of the Bible tells us that God is the ultimate reality. And God is the center of all things. God created. And our great end, our great objective is to glorify him. Not to gratify self, but to glorify him. Or take evolution. Evolution, that theory that claims that the gradual formation of diverse species took place over long, long periods of time, that what we see now is the result of what has evolved. This opening verse of the Bible refutes it, and refutes it resoundingly. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Not over a long period of time. This opening chapter tells us it was 6 days. 6 days. A literal 6 days. The people have tried to explain away what is clearly taught in the Bible. And they say, oh, but that day doesn't mean a 24-hour period. It relates to an indefinite period of time. Isn't it interesting that the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath day is based upon this record in Genesis 1? In 6 days God created all things and he rested the seventh day. It's emphasizing the fact that God created all things and he furnished this universe in 6 days, six literal days, not over a vast, indefinite period of time. Do you see how important this verse is? This one verse strikes at all the false philosophies that this world has embraced to express its unbelief. It strikes at it, and it refutes them all. It sets out the fact of God, the existence of God. God created. And the word that's used here, Elohim, is indicating one who's all-powerful, one who is almighty, a majestic God whose very works of creation display his glory, display his majesty. What did he do at the beginning? He created this universe, and this universe has a threefold characteristic. Look at what the verse says. In the beginning, that's time. God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's matter or mass. This universe consists of three ingredients, so to speak. Space, mass, and time. And on that very first day, God created the essential ingredients, and then the remaining days of that week, he furnished the earth. He furnished the universe. He took those ingredients and he produced the final product in 6 days. There's some people like to believe in what is called the gap theory. And the gap theory is a theory that was espoused at the time when Charles Darwin was advocating his evolutionary idea of the world being formed over a long, long period of time. And so they came to this passage of the Bible and they said in verse number 1, you have the creation. And then in verse number 2, you have a great climactic event that took place long after the creation. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what they say is this, that between verse 1 and verse 2, you have this indefinite period of time that was ended by God's judgment upon Satan when he rose up in rebellion against God. And God judged Satan, and this judgment of darkness fell upon the creation. And then God recreated. God recreated in the 6 days that are outlined here in Genesis chapter 1. And so they say there was this gap period. And many in the church back in the 1800s, they latched on to this theory because these so-called geologists and scientists were coming up with this idea of evolution. And they said, there you are. You can You can fit it in that long period. They weren't necessarily espousing evolution. They weren't denying creation at that point. But what they were trying to do was to accommodate this idea of a long period of time. And so they said, there, we'll fit it in there between verse 1 and verse 2. And that's where we can get all these years that the geologists are talking about. Why did they talk about such long periods of time? Well, evolution is based on the idea of different ages. And those ages are measured by fossils they claim are found in rocks. But what they forget is this, those who hold to this gap theory, that the evolutionists come to this long, indefinite period of time, millions of years, and it keeps changing, by the way. But they come to that period of time because they say this fossil and this layer of rock indicates this period of time, and that fossil and that layer of rock, that's bringing us a little bit further forward. And when you add it all up, it comes to millions of years. And those who listened to the evolutionists and tried to explain what they claim were long periods of time in the history of the formation of the earth, they said, well, we'll fit it in there. But what they forgot was this, that fossils are dead things. Fossils are dead things. Dead creatures that have been buried very quickly in sediment, in the fossilized. And so what you have there is the evidence of death. And those who held to this idea of a gap theory were actually contradicting Genesis chapter 3. And they were saying that there was death before the fall. Death before the fall. But the Bible teaches that death only came into this world because of sin. The sin of Adam. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death is the consequence of sin. Always remember that God, when he created this world at the beginning, did not intend death to be a natural process in his creation. Death came as a result of sin. It was an intrusion into God's natural process for his creation. It was a violent intrusion, something that is not natural, but something that came as a consequence of sin. But this first verse of the Bible stands forth not only as a declaration of fact, but it stands forth as a defense against all the false theories that result from the unbelieving hearts of men. But there's something more about this verse that makes it very important. And it is the fact that it is a demand for faith. This verse is a demand for faith. It is a call for faith. It calls every one of us to believe the record that is given of an unobserved past, of an unwitnessed past. When you read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, you're faced with a call and with a challenge. Will you believe what God has said concerning something that no human eye observed, no human being witnessed? Will you believe? God created the heavens and the earth. Because faith is absolutely essential in this matter. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3. Hebrews 11 and verse number 3. Paul says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Paul is saying, when it comes to the origin of this world, when it comes to the things that you can see, their origin requires faith. It is only through faith that we will understand the origin of the universe. Now that's very important, because in this day and age in which we live, the great battle that has been raging to discredit, to destroy, to dethrone the Bible is a battle that places on one side faith and on the other side science. And the modern humanistic thinking of man says that is faith. You talk about the creation of the world and God creating the world in 6 days. That is faith. There is no scientific evidence. And so they place science in opposition to faith. And they claim that science has furnished us with the evidence that this world was not created, but that it evolved. And so they proceed along this basis. Your theory is based on faith, but ours is based on scientific evidence. But what Paul says here should be considered very carefully. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith we understand how this universe came to be. And that applies equally to those who hold to evolution. What is science? Science is the accumulation of knowledge through experiment and observation. But you cannot observe something that took place in the past. You can't observe it. You cannot witness it. You can only observe what is the present. What is the present? So when they bring their rocks and they say this rock is 55 billion years old, you ask them, how do you know that? Oh, we have conducted a scientific experiment and we have determined that it's this old. But they weren't there when that rock was created and when that rock was formed. None of them were there. They did not witness the creation of this world. The only thing that they witnessed is the rock that they now have in the present. And they can only speak concerning this rock as it is in the present, right now. So their theory is based upon faith just as much as those who hold to the creation teaching set forth in the Bible is. Person says this world was evolved over millions and millions of years. They're simply telling you what they believe. They did not witness it. They did not observe it. That's what they believe happened. I stand here tonight and I say this world was created in 6 days. And God created it out of nothing. I wasn't there to witness it. I didn't observe it. And so what I am setting forth to you tonight is what I believe happened. And I believe it happened because God has revealed it thus in the scriptures. It is through faith that we understand how the world came to be. faith is all important. And this opening verse of the Bible is a demand for faith. Do you believe what God has said? Do you believe what God has said? That's why this is the most important verse of the Bible. If a person does not believe and cannot believe what is written in Genesis chapter 1, they will not believe further down the line concerning God's way of salvation. They'll not believe. Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, that passage that we read, it gives us a further explanation, and it tells us, there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This is telling us that the world was created by Christ, who is referred to as the Word of God. He is identified in verse number 14, as the one who was made flesh, and the Word was made flesh, and we dwelt and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we are informed that His name is Jesus Christ. Verse 17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And then as you come down a little bit further, John saw Jesus coming to him in verse 20. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to see here what is set forth. Christ is set forth as the Lamb of God, as the Savior, but the chapter begins with the fact that He is the Creator. That He made all things. And if a person cannot believe the record of Genesis 1 verse 1, they will not believe that Jesus is the Savior. Because He cannot be the Savior except He is the Creator. If He's not the Creator, then He's just an ordinary man. He's just another man. And He cannot save anyone. What John is doing here is vital. He is showing us that the one who created all things became the Savior. And only the Creator, only the Creator can save lost, fallen mankind. So therefore this text in Genesis 1 verse 1 is pointing us to Christ, the one who made all things, who at a future day would step into this world and take the likeness of our humanity, would be found as a man in order to redeem fallen sinners from their sins. This opening verse is all important. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it's only by this same Creator that we can be restored, that we can be renewed, that we can be made whole, that we can be born again, that we can be recreated. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It is only the Creator who can do this. Now let me ask you tonight, when you open Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, do you believe what it says? Or do you question? Do you doubt? Do you deny? Have you swallowed the lie of modern man, modern man's philosophies, and all the modern philosophies are just ancient heresies? But have you swallowed the lie If you listen to what the world is saying, it's so prominent, so prevalent. The falsehoods being pumped out continually that undermine the testimony of God's word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And He who is our Creator is the only one who can be our Savior. And He who is our Creator, if He does not become our Savior, then He will most surely be our judge. This is a verse that applies to every one of us, that has reference to every one of us, that has relevance to every one of us. You can't ignore it. Do you believe what God says in His word? May the Lord grant to each one that faith that believes the whole record of the word of God and rests in a Savior who has created all things. Let's turn in closing to number 42 in the hymn book. Number 42, and we'll stand together as we sing.